The first lesson is from Acts chapter 4. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read together Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like fine oil on the head, flowing down upon the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon, flowing down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, live forevermore. The second lesson is from 1 John chapters 1 and 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." So a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. Okay, well, so good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I want to talk about Thomas. Who was he? I've been curious about him, so this was a good time for me to check him out. Personally, my feeling is that he got the bad rap. The more I thought about him and his story, the more it resonated with me. Maybe it does the same for you. But Thomas is known as one of the first missionaries in the early church. According to tradition, Thomas took the gospel to India. And historical records and traditions say that he traveled there in AD 52, where he was later martyred and was buried in Mylapore, India. So Thomas is mentioned only 8 times between the 4 Gospels and Acts, and mainly in the Gospel of John. I don't call him Doubting Thomas because I don't see him called Doubter anywhere in John's Gospel. He is called the twin, as John says, that was known as Didymus, which is the Greek word, for twin. And Thomas means twin in Aramaic. But could we call him Brave Thomas, Skeptic Thomas, or maybe Believing Thomas? So let's say he's Brave Thomas. In John 11, when Jesus wanted to return to Judea, Thomas and the rest of the disciples knew that would probably mean that Jesus would die. Now, Thomas said in verse 16 that he wanted to follow Jesus so that we may die with him. Now, our gospel reading today told us that after the resurrection, Jesus appeared suddenly to the disciples and said to them, "Peace to you." And he showed them his wounds, and they were joyful because they saw the Lord. They saw the proof that he was alive. But Thomas wasn't there. And when they told him that they had seen Jesus, he wouldn't believe them. He refused to believe the resurrection. And he said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, I will not believe." Thomas was really no different than the other disciples. He wanted to believe, but he just wanted the proof that Jesus had indeed risen. So was he then Skeptic Thomas, and for good reason? Put in that position, wouldn't we want some sort of proof? I'm pretty sure that I would. And a week later, when Jesus appeared to the disciples again and Thomas was with them, John says, "Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood there and said, 'Peace be with you.' He said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side and stop doubting and believe.'" So after seeing Jesus and the marks for himself, he didn't just believe, but he claimed Jesus as my Lord and also my God. So believing Thomas. Now it's easy for us to forget that the other apostles doubted the resurrection too. And we should remember that Jesus welcomed Thomas's skepticism and met his doubts with evidence of his resurrection. Jesus gave Thomas and the rest of the disciples exactly what they were all asking for. They all wanted proof that he was alive. So think about it. Did he give them what they wanted or what they needed? We don't know. Maybe they needed something more. Thomas is the only disciple branded as a doubter. And why do we have a negative attitude towards doubt? Excuse me. Is doubt the opposite of faith? This story of Thomas is often used to reinforce that belief. But the real enemy of faith is unbelief rather than doubt. Doubts lead us to questions that lead us to get to know God better and to bring us closer to Him. Author Anne Lamott wrote, "The opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. Certainty misses the point entirely. Faith includes noticing the mess, the confusion, the disappointment, and letting it be there until some light returns." Now, God knows what's best for us far better than we do. He sees the bigger picture. He knows what's next in our lives. He knows how to help us grow. He knows what experiences we need. And does Jesus give us what we ask for or what we need? In Isaiah 55:8, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." And he always answers our prayers, but not always the way we want them answered. He will say yes and give us what we prayed for, or he will say no and close that door, or he will say wait and expect us to be patient. I think the hardest answer to hear is wait, because it requires a lot of patience and trust in God. Now, I grew up Lutheran. My family all went to church together. I attended Lutheran schools until I was in fourth grade. I went to confirmation class and was confirmed, all of that. From as far back as I can remember, I believed in God. I was taught to believe, and it was at my core. I believed with all my heart until tragedy hit me as an adult. Then came the many years of doubting. Do you have doubts? But I did, and for a long time. I could not understand how or why God would take two babies from me and my husband Ken. I still don't, to be honest. But I prayed, and I didn't hear an answer. It might have been wait, but I wasn't listening. A few years went by, and all in good time, God's time maybe, we were blessed with our youngest daughter. So let's fast forward to the year 2000, when I was diagnosed with primary liver cancer. Well, after doing my internet research, I became convinced that my days were indeed numbered. I prayed, and this time I think the answer was yes. He had a plan. Was there more for me to do? And since having the surgery, there has been no more cancer. Shouldn't we accept our doubts and use them to lead us on a search towards God? Theologian Frederick Buchner wrote in his book, Wishful Thinking, "Whether your faith is that there is a God or there is not a God, if you don't have any doubts, you are either kidding yourself or asleep." Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. Now, over time, I came to understand that some things are just not fair, and we don't know God's plan for us. I believe that the Holy Spirit was working in me and led me here to Grace, where I rediscovered His grace and found myself on the road to learning more about Him, and my faith grew. Then, dark moments were back again last November after I fell. I woke up in a care facility. I was unable to care for myself, unable to walk at all. I was terrified that the rest of my days would be spent in that place or one like it. And in looking back, I think that Jesus was there, sending Melanie to visit me every day, keep my spirits up, and bring me some tempting food, like ice cream and so on, anything else that I wanted. And then she cared for me in her home after I left the facility until I was able to come back home. She even escorted me back home, first class. He gave me what I needed at that time, but not what I wanted. I wanted not to have had that happen. A belief and faith to me are real. The law of karma from Indian religions such as Buddhism and Hinduism says that the universe gives back to us what we give to it. And Jesus said that the measure you measure out is the measure that will be measured back to you. And we can't prove God's existence with the kind of proof we find in science. But if you just look around at our universe, our solar system, our bodies, our animals, our plant life, our weather, everything. We have a creator. We were created, and our lives have value and purpose. Do you ever consider yourself a doubting Thomas? Well, just like he did with Thomas, if we are patient and keep coming back to him, Jesus will give us what we need for belief. Instead of a doubting Thomas, you could think of yourself as a believing Thomas, a patient Thomas, or a skeptic Thomas. But if we're to learn anything from Thomas, it is that our doubts can lead us to a deeper, richer faith. As Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And that's us. That's you and me. Our faith is strengthened by conversation with God, by relationship with other believers, and by experience of the work of God in our lives. Now for me, Thomas's story is so powerful because I know there will be times in my life when my faith will grow weak, and I need to remember that I can come to God without fear and ask for his help in building that faith back up. When I look back over the years, it seems that even in the midst of my doubts and questions, Jesus has given me what I need to have faith. I believe Jesus will give you everything you need to believe as well. Amen.